I'm here with one of the most talented writers on the internet about film, Eric D. Snyder, from ericdsnyder.com, cinematical.com, film.com, and a plethora of other websites that I can't even name because my brain is too small.
Actually, those are the only ones.
So, Eric D. Snyder, we were just talking about movies at Sundance Film Festival 2010 that you were disappointed in or didn't like.
Yes, only a few so far. It's actually overall been a pretty good festival, I think. I didn't care for Douchebag, which is, it's a waste of a good title. And it feels like the outline for a movie that they didn't fill in the details on. Just nothing to
Eric's it. Eric's just disappointed that they stole the title of his biopic.
The other one that was also the title of David Chen's biopic was Lovers of Hate, which I didn't care for. It feels like, what was the name of the guy that directed Leaving Las Vegas? Figgis? Mike Figgis?
Mike,
it feels like Mike Figgis directed an episode of Three's Company. It's like it has a setup of a farce of, you know, people hiding and doors slamming and stuff, but it's not funny. And it's shot in a way that suggests they didn't know how to make it funny. All three characters are just unlikable and uninteresting. It's actually similar to Douchebag, actually, in the story. And then the fact that none of the characters are likable. And then the third was The Runaways. The Runaways just left me cold, didn't do anything for me. That's the Joan Jett thing.
We were talking back at the Blogger Condo last night with Neil Miller from Film School Rejects, and I think he was saying how the film challenges you not to be attracted to Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, Dakota Fanning, who is in real life, what, like 15?
I think she was 14 at the time of filming.
And she's playing a 15 or 16-year-old. So she's jailbait, playing jailbait, acting like jailbait. And that's kind of what the movie's about. Is about how they were selling. These girls didn't have a lot of musical talent, but they were selling they were selling sex. They were selling the sexual images of these teenage girls. But apart from that, I just didn't find the movie interesting. Like, I never got a sense of who the Runaways were as a band, or why they mattered, or even that they mattered. And it just left me cold. Did nothing for me.
I want to say my biggest disappointment of the film festival so far has been the Extra Man. I saw The Perfect Host, which, by the way, was insane.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone had any expectations. It's a first-time director, you know, not a really big, no real expectations because
right.
No one had no idea what to expect.
Right.
And so The Perfect Host, that was just insane. Like, it so many twists in such a short period of time.
I'm looking forward to that.
Are you going to see it?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Right.
We should audio blog that. But, no, the biggest disappointment was The Extra Man, which is directed by Berman and Pulcini, the directors of American Splendor.
Right.
Based off of a book, and that movie was just a series of vignettes that relied way too heavily on the quirkiness of its characters to carry it through, and with no cohesive narrative. There's no beginning, middle, and end. Very, very disappointing. And I was expecting a lot more from the directors of American Splendor, which is a movie I loved. Joining us also is Larry Gross from Movie City News. Larry, you want to tell us about some of your disappointments at the festival?
You know, I really am reluctant to talk about films I don't like because I think if they're really bad, no one's going to go to them anyway. And if they're going to be really popular, my negative opinion of them isn't going to make
a difference.
We'll
discredit you.
I wanted to just comment on Eric's description of Lovers of Hate because I think his description of it was 100% accurate, except that I loved the film. And I guess the idea of a Mike Figgis directed episode of Three's Company actually appeals to me.
But I would
also point to a certain genre of film that I associate with Kieślowski's Decalogue,
right,
where there will be actually almost like a Hitchcock or a farce situation, which is then played in somber, realistic
right.
terms. And I felt that the control of that duality on the director's part was, I mean, you're kind of suggesting in your description of it that there was a genre element that he attempted to realize and just didn't know how to, and I understand,
right.
and I felt that, I was worried that that was the case,
right.
But what I decided was his absolute determination was to give you the setup of the genre expectation and then take you in another direction, which I felt he took you, and I'll tell you the brilliance.
I can see that.
And my argument, I feel like, is best verified by the very last images of the film, where no one, it turns out, is the conclusive point of view of the movie.
Right.
In other words, the heroine and the two poles in that triangle,
right.
they're all equally distant from one another. If it were a silly romantic comedy, it would have been the victory of the ex-husband.
Yeah, exactly. No,
if it
true.
Were a horrible, gut-wrenching thriller, it would have been about the couple defeating
right.
the psycho,
right.
vengeful
and,
husband.
Yeah,
let me cut you off for a second. Larry, where can I find more of your work on the internet this week?
I've been writing for David Pollan's Movie City News, and writing some short pieces about films there.
Great. And yep. Eric B. Snyder.
Film.com and Cinematical. Why, are we out of time?
Yeah, out of time.
Is your magic box out of time?
Yeah.